السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. رب زدنا علما، اللهم فقهنا في الدين، اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا وعملا متقبلا ورزقا طيبا. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما، آمين يا رب العالمين. Inshallah, we're going to do Surah Al-A'raf, Ayat 14 to 21 today. We'll start off with the word meanings, inshallah. The translation of Ayat 14 to 21. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قال, he said, and this refers to Shaitan. So Shaitan said, أنذرني. أنذر comes from نذر, which means to look and wait for. Okay, so أنذر, grant respite. Ni to me. So he's asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant him time, a waiting period. So أنذرني, you give me respite, إلى till يوم, a day, يبعثون, they will be raised. بعث, بعث means to raise. And ya in the beginning tells us that this word is in the third person, and una at the end makes this word plural. And we see that the word yubathun begins with a dhamma on the ya, so this is passive. So yubathun, they will be raised, or they are resurrected. Qala, he said. Now this is speaking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, innaka, inna, indeed, ka, you, min, from, al-munzareen, those who are granted respite. Nadhar, again, is the root word, which means wait, a waiting time. Munzar means the one granted respite. Al-munzar. And ina ending just makes this word plural. So al-munzareen, those who are given respite. Qala, he said. Now Shaitan says this. Fabima, fa then, or so, bima. Bima, bi means because, ma of what. So fabima, so because of what. Aghwaytani. Aghwa means to lead astray. And ta in the middle means you. So aghwayta, you led astray, or you sent astray. Ni in the end means me. So aghwaytani, you sent me astray. La aqa'udanna. Qa'ad is the root word, and that means to sit. And la in the beginning, the short la without the alif after it, lam fatha, means surely. And aqa'ud, the alif at the beginning of qa'ad means I. So aqa'ud, I will sit. And then the noon mushaddad in the end adds double the emphasis to whatever is being said. So definitely. Okay, it means definitely. So la aqa'udanna means surely I will definitely sit. La for whom, them. Sirataka, sirata, path. Ka, yours. Al-mustaqim, al means the, and mustaqim, one straight. Thumma, then. La'atiyannahum. Atiya means to come to. So la, the short lam fatha la in the beginning means surely. And then atiyanna, I will definitely come. So the noon mushaddad adds double the emphasis. And then hum at the end, the pronoun means them. So la'atiyannahum, surely I will definitely come to them. Min, from. Baini, between. Aydihim, their two hands. And whatever is between our two hands is in front of us, right? So this is a way of saying in front in Arabic. So min from baina aydihim or baini aydihim, whenever we see that together, means before them. So baini between aydihim, their hands, meaning baini aydihim, in front of them. And him is the pronoun that means them. Wa and min from khalfi, behind him, them. Wa and an from aymani, rights. Him, theirs. Wa and an from shama'ili, left. Him, theirs. Wa and la, na, tajidu, you will find. Wajada means to find. Ta in the beginning means you. So shaitan's telling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala this. He says, wala tajidu, and na, you will find. Aktharahum. Akthar means most. Hum of them. Shakirin, ones who are grateful. This comes from the word shukr, which means gratefulness. And shakir is somebody who is grateful. And ina ending just makes this word plural. So shakirin, ones who give thanks or are grateful. Qala, he said. Now this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responding. Ukhruj, get out. Kharaja is the root word. Khuruj means to exit. So ukhruj, get out. Min from ha'it. Madhuman, one condemned or blamed. Tha'am is the root word and it means to blame. So madhuman means one who is blamed or condemned. And madhuran, this is another word that describes shaitan. So dahar is the root word here, and that means to expel. So madhuran, one expelled, or one deprived of all blessings. He is the outcast, so he is expelled and deprived of all blessings. Laman, la, surely, man, whoever, tabi'aka, tabi'a, follows, ga, you, min, from, whom, them. La amla anna. La, surely, amla'a, I will fill. This comes from mala'a, which means to fill to capacity. So la amla anna. The nun mushaddad at the end means definitely. So there's double emphasis in whatever is being said. So surely, I will definitely fill. Jahannama. Jahannam or hell. Min from kum, all of you. Ajma'een, all together. Jama'a is the root word and that means together. So ajma'een is a describes a lot of people because we see ina at the end. So ajma'een, all together. Wa and ya adamu. Ya o adamu. Adam. Uskun. Sakan means to be still or to live. So uskun, this is a command now. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving Adam alayhi salam. He is saying uskun, you dwell. Anta, you. Wa and zawju, wife. Ka, yours. Al-jannata, al means ta, and jannata, paradise. Fakula, fa, so. Now this is the dual form. It is ending in alif in the end, fatha followed by alif. So we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing two people here. He is speaking to Adam alayhi salam and his wife Hawa. So fakula, so you both eat. Min from haythu, wherever. Shi'tuma, shi'ta means you wish. Okay, this is the same word that we use when we say sha'a, which means he wills. So she wished duma. Duma means you both. Because it's not shi'ta, which means you wish, or shi'tum, which means you all wished. So this is shi'tuma, ending in alif. So this is the dual tense referring to two people. So shi'tuma, you both wished. Wa and la, do not, taqraba, you two go near. This comes from qurb, which means nearness. Ta in the beginning means you, and the fatha followed by alif at the end tells us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing two people. So it's dual. So taqraba, you both approach. Hadihi, this. Ash-shajarata, al means ta, shajara, tree. Fatakuna, fa, so. Ta means you, and kun means to be. Bakuna means you both be. So fatakuna, then you both will be. Min, from. Al-dhalimeen, those who do injustice. Dhulm is the root word, and that means injustice. Dhalim is somebody who is unjust. And al in the beginning means the, and ina ending makes this word plural. So al-dhalimeen, the ones who do injustice, or those who are unjust, or do wrong. Fa waswasa, fa, so, waswasa, he whispered. This is a word for the suggestions of shaitan, an evil suggestion from him. So fa waswasa, so he whispered. La, to, huma, both of them. Ash-shaytanu, al means the, shaytanu, shaytan, liyubadiya. Now the root word here is bada, which means to make apparent, to show. Li in the beginning means so that, yubadiya, he makes apparent, or he reveals. La, to, huma, both of them, ma, whatever, wuriya, was hidden. This comes from the word wara, which means behind. So wuriya was hidden, and we know this is passive because it begins with a dhamma on the waw in the beginning. Wuriya was hidden. An, from. Huma, both of them. Min, from. Sawatihima. Now this word comes from, sawat comes from su, which means an evil or something bad. And then so'at actually means the private parts. And it comes from the word su because it is bad to reveal the private parts. So so'at, private parts, hima, of both of them. Wa and qala, he said, ma not. Now this is shaitan talking, and he's saying ma not nahakuma. Naha means to stop, to forbid. So naha, he prohibited. Kuma, both of you. He's saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited both of you. Rabbukuma, Rabb, Lord, Master, Sustainer, Creator, kuma, of both of you. An, from. Hadihi, this. Ash-shajarata, the tree. Illa, except. Now it's because of this illa that the word ma does not mean what or that. The one that comes after qala, we said wa qala ma nahakuma means, and he said, not prohibited you, both of you, rabbukuma, your lord, right? The lord of both of you. An hadhihi shajarata, from this, the tree. Illa, except. And the reason why this ma does not mean that or what, and why it means not, is because of this illa that comes shortly afterwards in the ayah. So illa means except. An, that. Takuna, you both become. Kun means to be. Ta in the beginning means you, and the alif, fatha alif, in the end means this is dual. So he is telling Adam and Hawa alayhim assalam that takuna, you both become malakain. Malak means an angel. An aini ending, ani or aini at the end, means dual. So it refers to two things or two people. So malakaini, two angels. Aw, or takuna, you both become min, from. Al-Khalideen, those who are eternal dwellers. Al in the beginning means the, and Khalid means one who lives forever, and ina ending makes this word plural. So Al-Khalideen, those who live forever, those who are immortal. Wa and Qasamahuma. Qasama comes from qasam, which means an oath. So qasama, he swore huma to both of them. Inni. Inni, inna means indeed, and then the ya at the end means I. So inni, indeed, I. La, for. Kuma, both of you. La, surely. Min, from. An-nasihin, those who are sincere advisors. Nasiha is the root word here, and that means advice, sincere advice. And nasih means somebody who is a well-wisher, and ina ending makes this word plural. So an-nasihin, those who are sincere well-wishers, or those who are sincere advisors. Alhamdulillah. Now we'll start the tafsir of these ayat, inshallah. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. We had been learning about what happened when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered everyone to prostrate before Adam alayhi salam. And all the angels did it, except for Shaitan. He refused. He lived among the angels, but he refused. He claimed that he was better than Adam alayhi salam because he was made of fire and Adam alayhi salam was made of clay. Shaitan had been devoutly worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a very long time. And this is why he lived with the angels, even though he was a jinn. He was not an angel. However, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him to prostrate to Adam alayhi salam, to do sajda out of respect for Adam alayhi salam, he refused. He thought that he was better than Adam, and he was jealous of Adam alayhi salam. This is why he failed to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, due to jealousy and arrogance. And after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him to get out of Jannah, proving that Shaitan was nothing. So we should remember this when we try to blame Shaitan for the things we do wrong, saying that Shaitan made us do something because he has no control over us, because he is inferior. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made Adam alayhi salam better. That's why Shaitan was ordered to do sajda out of respect for him to Adam alayhi salam. Shaitan is inferior. He cannot control us if we remain steadfast. So Shaitan was not being arrogant towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he refused to prostrate to Adam alayhi salam. It wasn't that he didn't want to obey Allah. He was being arrogant towards Adam alayhi salam. He thought he's better than Adam alayhi salam, and that is why he refused to do it. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him to get out of Jannah, he should have begged him for forgiveness and humbled himself before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and prostrated before Adam then, out of respect for him, just to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But instead of doing all this, Shaitan requested, قَالَ أَنْذِرْنِي إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ. He said, give me respite till the day they are resurrected. He was still being stubborn and asked for more time till the day of judgment. And from that, we understand that Shaitan knew that there would be a day of judgment. He was aware of that. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created man, he informed everyone that there will be a day of judgment when everything will come to an end and man will no longer exist and nothing else will remain either. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will decide who goes to Jannah and who goes to Jahannam at that time. He had told everyone about this when he created Adam alayhi salam. This is why Shaitan actually knew that they will be resurrected one day. He knew about the day of judgment. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must have told them that mankind will be tested And so on the day of judgment, they will be judged according to how they live their lives. So we must know that Shaitan is not the one who makes us do bad things. He has no power over us. Even if he had not been there, there is a nafs within us that prompts people to sin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in another part of the Quran, فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. Then he inspired in people their wickedness and their piety. So there's a nafs within us, okay, that is inclined towards evil. And then there's piety too that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed in us. Anyway, Shaitan asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for time until the day of judgment. قَالَ إِنَّكَ مِنَ الْمُنْظَرِينَ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to him, the respite you requested is hereby granted. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even listened to Shaitan and accepted his dua. And we should note this. So we don't ever complain that our du'as are not being accepted, that they're not being answered. Even the du'a that Iblis, Shaitan, made was accepted. And since then, Iblis has been alive. He hasn't died. So many people have come and passed away. But he still is alive. He hasn't died. The jinn die too, but Shaitan is still alive. We believe that he will die on the day of judgment. Think about how long his life is, just because his wish was granted. A hadith about humility that we should know. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever humbles himself one degree for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will raise him in status one degree. And whoever behaves arrogantly towards Allah one degree, Allah will lower him in status one degree until he keeps being arrogant and Allah makes him the lowest of the low. As for Iblis, he was granted respite till the day of judgment, until the horn will be blown. Shaitan was so clever. That's why he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for respite till the day of judgment, when everyone would die. He was well aware of the day of judgment, and he was certain that it would come. But because of his jealousy and arrogance, he ended up disobeying Allah. Because he was jealous and he was arrogant, he disobeyed Allah, which made him deserve Jahannam. That's why a hadith tells us clearly that a person can do good deeds his whole life, but he does one thing at the end that takes him to Jahannam. Astaghfirullah Rabbi. After having his wish granted, he knew that he wouldn't die yet or be thrown in Jahannam yet either. So instead of stopping there, after his wish was granted, he continued being stubborn. He said, Qala, he dared to say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَبِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي. Then because you did agwa, you sent me astray, you ordered me to do sajda before Adam. If you had not ordered me to do so, I would not have disobeyed. You made me do it since you let me deviate. This is what he meant. He dared to say this to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَبِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي. Then because you sent me astray. He blamed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the sin that he had committed himself. And this is what people do nowadays too sometimes. When they say, oh, if Allah had wanted, we would have prayed and been good too. So they're accusing Allah for not wanting them to be guided. At times people say that they would be good if Allah wants them to be good, as if He doesn't want them to be good. And we know that's not true. And others say, oh, Allah made the situation so tough that we had to be this way to survive. If He hadn't made things happen this way, I wouldn't have done what I do wrong. I would have been different. It's really common for people to blame Allah for their own faults and wrongdoing. But that's how Shaitan was. We have to remember that. So this is not good at all. So Shaitan was like this too, even though he was the one who had sinned. And then he was stubborn. Instead of feeling bad about it, he said, you made me do it. لَأَقْعُدَنَّ لَهُمْ صِرَاطَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ Surely, I will definitely sit for them on your right way. So he said that since Allah had let him deviate from the right path, he would definitely lie in ambush. لَهُمْ Meaning for Adam and his offspring, for them. صِرَاطَكَ On your path. Al-mustaqim, the straight. This means that Shaitan knew about the Sirat-i-Mustaqim too. He knows that this path goes straight to Jannah. And it's the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because He said, Sirat-aka al-mustaqim, your straight path. Shaitan knows this is Allah's path. And He said that He would sit and wait for people to get them off the right path. That's what He's waiting for. He doesn't sit and wait for sinners in bad places because there's no need. They're already sinning. So instead of doing that, He waits for people who are trying to follow the right path. He waits for them to get them off track so they're not able to follow it. This is why whenever someone starts to follow the right path and hold fast to it, Iblis starts to attack him. Then he puts waswas, all these thoughts in his mind to make him think that it's too hard to stay on the right path. He makes them think of things that stop that person from obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if he doesn't succeed in leading that person astray, he puts waswas or thoughts in the minds of his loved ones. And then his loved ones say or do things to make him fall off that right path. The family members or friends start telling that person to make them deviate, to make them go astray, fall off the right path. So he goes to that person himself first, and he sends his agents among people to lead that person astray. Everyone who tries to get us to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is an agent of Shaitan. So we should remember that. And he cannot force people to stop. Because if they're steadfast, they keep going. And if they don't listen to him, they ignore his waswas, he comes to them through other people. And he makes those other people, the humans, do his work. They become his agents. Many times, it's people who are very dear to that person. And they make it seem like they really care for that person. They don't oppose them straight out. But Shaitan uses them to make people stop doing good things. Because of his jealousy, he tries to do this all throughout people's lives. And he is most active and tries the hardest to mislead people when they're about to die. So we should be cautious and we should know about his plot so we don't start following him. Think about how many generations have passed since Adam alayhi salam. And how he is still so hard at work. He is still not done. He's not satisfied. After leading so many people astray, he is still working. He knows that they're on the right path, but he still tries his best to get them off track, one way or another. He either makes them start committing shirk, or he gets them caught up in innovations in deen, or he makes them become negligent, according to each person's weakness, because he watches to see what our weaknesses are. And according to our weakness, He comes to us and puts waswas in our minds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us everything that shaitan said. And He warned us that shaitan is our clear enemy. So we can think of him as an enemy. So we can beware. Then, out of jealousy for Adam alayhi salam, He said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ثُمَّ لَآتِيَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ. Then surely I will definitely come upon them from the front. وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ, and from behind them. وَأَنْ أَيْمَانِهِمْ, and from their right. وَأَنْ شَمَائِلِهِمْ, and from their left. He said that He would come to people from all four directions. The front, the back, meaning behind them, from their right and the left. Now, ulama say that He didn't say from the top or the bottom because Allah's rahmah comes from the top. Whenever someone turns to Allah, His mercy descends on him from the top. And towards the bottom is sajda. So whenever someone does sajda, when they prostrate, they can be forgiven for their sins. So He doesn't say that He would come from the top or bottom. But when shaitan says that He will come to people from the front or behind them, what is in front and behind people? Well, we need to understand this so we can beware. In front of them is the Akhirah. It's the hereafter. It's Jannah, Jahannam, the Day of Judgment. Everything that's ahead. So when He says that He'll come from the front, it means that He will make them doubt all these things. So people start thinking that these things may not even happen. That the Day of Judgment or the Akhirah or Jannah or Jahannam may not even be true, astaghfirullah. He will make them unsure and make them forget about the hereafter. That's another thing He does. Either He creates doubts, so people start thinking that, is it actually going to happen? Or they forget about it. And He will make them negligent and careless about the life of the hereafter. So people don't pay attention to it. When coming from the back, it means that He would make this dunya, this nearer world, this temporary world, so beautiful. He would make it seem so beautiful. And He makes its problems seem really big. That's what it means that He would come from behind them. Because dunya is behind us. So He means that He would come from behind because dunya is behind us, and He makes people think about it so much, about this life, so they just focus on this temporary life of this world, this dunya. They get so caught up with the happiness of this life, the sadness of this life, the problems or the troubles of this life, so they never get to think about the hereafter. Because they're so focused on this dunya. Dunya is behind them. And people are moving forward to the hereafter. If we remember this, we wouldn't spend so much time worrying about dunya. But He makes them take the hereafter lightly, even though we're moving closer to it. And He makes what is behind them already, the dunya, so attractive. When someone becomes so involved with this life, he doesn't even remember about the akhirah. He's just focused on dunya. And he doesn't realize that his time here is passing. Shaitan makes people think about dunya so much that people spend their whole lives just running after it. Their entire lives. They start thinking that they'll see what happens in the hereafter later. They'll focus on it later. They think that they need to focus on the current problems now, the problems of this temporary life. He makes the problems here so big that they start looking at things from that perspective, as if dunya is more important, as if it's everything. And he said he would come from the right and the left. The right side is a side of good deeds. We know that the pious people will be on the right side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and people will get their records in their right hands if they were good doers. So things from the right side describe good deeds. So he will lead people astray through the right side, meaning the good deeds, good things. So when someone wants to do something good, shaitan makes it seem so difficult, as if it's impossible. Or he makes them think of bad things that may happen as a result. Even if there's a very little chance of that happening, he makes them think that something bad can happen. If we take the example of Quran class, think about how he tries to make us think that it's difficult, even though it's not hard at all once we start. He makes it seem that way, just to try to hinder us from learning the Quran. He knows that it would change our lives and lead to success in the hereafter if we learn it, if we study it. So he tries to stop us. Even if we don't implement deen perfectly, he knows that we would at least connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and repent for our sins, which he doesn't want. So he doesn't want us to connect to the Quran at all. This is why he does whatever he can to make us think that it's just not doable. That, oh, it's just not possible for me. This is what a lot of people say. Or he tells us that we won't be able to continue for long, even if we start, because he doesn't want us to focus on just taking the initial step and starting. Because that is the main thing. He knows it becomes easy as we do it. It becomes easy over time. So he tries to keep us away so we never take that initial step, because that is the hardest thing. Shaitan tries to distract us by keeping us busy with this dunya, as if this is all that matters. This is why there's a dua. Allahumma la taj'al ad-dunya akbar hammina. O Allah, do not make worldly affairs my greatest concern. This is a beautiful dua. Again, it's Allahumma la taj'al ad-dunya akbar hammina. Because if we just keep worrying about the things connected to this life, just thinking about things and trying to resolve problems here, we won't ever get time to prepare for our eternal lives. Remember that this life can never be perfect, because it's not Jannah. We'll face one problem after another in this life. But we must remember to stay focused on the hereafter, so shaitan doesn't make us feel overwhelmed with worldly matters. So we don't start thinking that the problems here are really big when they're actually not, compared to the hereafter. So he comes from the right in that way, and he makes us think that good deeds are just too difficult to do. Or he makes us think that a specific good deed that we normally do won't really make a difference, as if it's no big deal to do it. So we start thinking that it doesn't matter if we don't do it anymore. Many people recite one or two juz of the Quran every single day in Ramadan, but afterwards, they say that it's hard to make time for even one page. Why does that happen? Because shaitan makes it hard for them to do it. It's not hard. He makes them think that it's okay if they don't do it, because it's no big deal, so they delay it. He doesn't let them do it right away. they procrastinate so much that they never end up doing it. Or he makes them too afraid of doing good things, as if doing good deeds will cause problems for them. These are the ways that he comes from the right side. And how does he come to us from the left side? He beautifies sins for people. He entices people to sin by making them appear appealing and enjoyable. He makes them do it one way or another. Either they do it in the name of tradition, they say they're following traditions, or for art or culture, even if they're wrong. He makes these sins seem small, so people take them lightly. He tells them that it's no big deal, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala won't seize them over one thing. That's what he says. That's his waswasa. He tells them that it's no big deal. This is how he deceives them and makes them sin. When they start thinking that everyone else is doing something, so it's not a big deal if they do it too, that's shaitan tricking them. He makes it so easy for people to sin, so they don't stress about it. But we should remember that shaitan was expelled from Jannah for disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just one time. So even one sin makes a huge difference. He makes people sin and he makes it seem like it's no big deal. People who sin so openly are called stars nowadays. They're called celebrities, even though the prophets and the Sahaba were the real stars who we are supposed to follow. Not people who are not even on the right path themselves. This is how shaitan beautifies sins for people, and he lures people into sinning. And since shaitan attacks from all directions, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us to make a protective dua every morning and evening to seek the protection of Allah. And that dua is, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afwa wal-afiyata fi dunya wal-akhirah. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afwa wal-afiyata fi dini wa dunyaya wa ahli wa mali. Allahumma astur awrati wa amir rawati. اللهم احفظني من بين يدي ومن خلفي وعن يميني وعن شمالي ومن فوقي وأعوذ بعظمتك أن أغتال من تحتي. And it means, O Allah, I ask you for forgiveness and well-being in my religious and my worldly matters. That's what we say when we say, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afwa wal-afiyata fi dunya wal-akhirah. And then, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afwa wal-afiyata fi dini wa dunyaya wa ahli wa mali. And this means, oh Allah, I ask you for well-being in my religion, fi dini wa dunyaya, and in my life, wa ahli, and in my family, wa mali, and in my wealth. Allahumma astur awrati. O Allah, conceal my faults. Wa amir rawati. And calm my fears. Allahumma ahfadhni min bayni yadayya. O Allah, protect me from before me, in front of me. وَمِنْ خَلْفِي, and behind me. وَعَنْ يَمِينِي, and from my right. وَعَنْ شِمَالِي, and from my left. وَمِنْ فَوْقِي, and from above me. وَأَعُوذُ بِعَظَمَتِكَ, and I seek refuge in your greatness. أَنْ أُغْتَالَ مِنْ تَحْتِي, from being unexpectedly destroyed from below. This is a very powerful dua that we should try to make every morning and evening. It might seem like it's a little bit longer than the usual to us, but we get so used to it once we start reading it, and it becomes very easy over time. So if we make this dua and seek the protection of Allah against shaitan, he cannot attack from those sides. But if we don't seek the protection of Allah against him, even from one side, he attacks us from that specific side. Sometimes when he comes from the right, he makes people think that they're so great because of the good deeds they do. So their effort all goes to waste because of the takabbur, the arrogance that comes from doing good. So these are ways that he attacks us. When we say from the front and behind and right and left, the words mentioned don't just indicate direction. They actually tell us how he tricks us. So after this, Shaytan said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ, and you will not find most of them to be grateful. He challenged Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should ask ourselves, how grateful am I towards Allah? In Surah Saba, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Shaitan's assumption turned out to be right. Shaitan didn't know that it would actually happen. He only assumed it, but it's so true. Because most of us tend to complain about things that go wrong in our lives a lot more than we are thankful for everything else that we have. We don't remember to be thankful all the time, but we do remember to complain about the one thing that goes wrong. That's why Shaitan said, وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ, and you will not find most of them to be grateful. Most of the time, people complain about what they don't have. They hardly ever admit that Allah has given them so many blessings that they should be thankful for. Allahu Akbar. قال اخرج منها مذءوما مدهورا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, get out from here, you despicable outcast. Madhuman means the one who is blamed, the one who is condemned, madhuma. And madhura means the one that is deprived of all blessings, the one who is expelled, removed from the mercy of Allah, which was Jannah. Which is Jannah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removed him from his mercy. The word madhuma has a deeper meaning as well. It means that he is not at ease at all. He's never content. He always continues thinking that he was treated unfairly. He is still so jealous and angry. Even after leading astray so many people, he's not done yet. He is still burning in jealousy. This is what happens when people are jealous of others. They can't be at ease when they see others with blessings. So Shaitan was expelled from Allah's mercy. And he was madhura, meaning that he was pushed out. He was humiliated, disgraced, expelled in such a disgraceful way. That's what madhura means. Shaitan wants people to start thinking that they can never be forgiven. He wants them to despair and give up hope. He is Iblis himself, meaning the one who despairs of Allah's mercy. And he wants people to feel the same way so they can fail. But we should know that we're following Shaitan if we start feeling hopeless and despair of Allah's mercy, thinking that there's no way we can save ourselves from Jahannam now, or that there's no way to get to Jannah. So if we start thinking that, oh, how is someone like me ever going to get to Jannah? Know that it's from Shaitan. It's from his waswas. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not look at us that way. He actually says that he created us, and he would tell us, he told us, and he said that we'll make mistakes because all of the children of Adam are prone to making mistakes. But he says to turn back to him when we make mistakes. This is how he values us and he honors us. Okay, he told us that we would mess up, but just, he says, come back to me. Repent. However, Shaitan wants to dishonor people because he is madhuman madhura. He can't tolerate the fact that Allah honored mankind and he values their efforts when they return to him. He wants them to be removed from Allah's mercy as well. So he just wants to see the destruction of Adam's offspring. That's what makes him happy. It pleases him so much. And he deeply dislikes seeing people happy or peaceful. Because he is the worst enemy. He can't be happy. He can't tolerate seeing people follow the Sirat-e-Mustaqim. And he's so happy when they're led off the right path. Because he knows it's going to lead to their destruction. This is because he does not want them to enter Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Shaitan, لَمَا تَبِعَكَ مِنْهُمْ. Surely, whoever follows you from them, this means that the souls were all present, or all of humanity was present. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Shaitan, that whichever ones from them follow his footsteps, لَأَمْلَأَنَّ جَهَنَّمَ مِنْكُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. Surely I will definitely fill hell with all of you all together. So the kum in minkum, meaning all of you, refers to Shaitan and all the people who follow him. There's double emphasis in this. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressed people as well as Shaitan when he said, لَأَمْلَأَنَّ. Surely I will definitely fill جَهَنَّمَ مِنْكُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ, the hell with all of you from among you all together. So he meant that Shaitan would definitely go to hell, but he warned us as well on that day. So we have heard already that anyone from among the offspring of Adam who follows Shaitan will end up there with him too, in hell. He is going to end up there. And he wants to take as many people there with him as possible. He wants everyone to go there with him. So all this happened even before we were sent to this world. This whole discussion happened before we were sent here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us then what would happen if we followed Shaitan. But we still tend to forget and listen to Shaitan so many times. We should remember that he's trying to take us to Jahannam with him. So we can ignore his waswas. Next, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَيَا آدَمْ and O Adam, أُسْكُنْ أَنْتَ وَزَوْجُكَ الْجَنَّةِ, dwell with your wife in paradise. Note that when we normally learn about Jannah in the Quran, the words خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا are often used. Right? Meaning they will live in Jannah forever. Here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't say khalidina fiha, to live in Jannah forever. Instead, he said to Adam alayhi salam, uskun, to live there for some time, temporarily. Uskun, dwell. So it was never a part of the plan to have Adam and his wife live in Jannah forever. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarified in Surah Al-Baqarah that he would make Adam alayhi salam khalifa on the earth. So Adam alayhi salam would be sent to the earth as a vicegerent. He said this even before he created Adam alayhi salam. So we shouldn't think that Adam was expelled from Jannah because of his mistake. Because he had to be sent to the earth to take over his position that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had already assigned him to take. The only thing is that maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have sent him down honorably to the earth if he had not made the mistake. So Allah sent Adam alayhi salam to Jannah for some time before sending him to the earth. Maybe that was a training period for him where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to teach him things. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Adam alayhi salam to live in Jannah with his wife. فَكُلَا مِنْ حَيْثُ شِئْتُمَا. Then you both eat any fruit you please, whatever you both feel like eating. They were given these instructions. And we know that Jannah is so big. It's vast, beyond our imagination. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened all of Jannah to Adam alayhi salam and his wife. Except, وَلَا تَقْرَبَ هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةَ, and do not approach this tree. Allah told them not to even go near that tree. هَذِهِ is used for something that is near. It's used to point out something that is near. And it means this tree. He said specifically, so they were shown that tree. Allah especially pointed out the tree and made it clear to them that they should not go near it, that they couldn't. He didn't just randomly tell them not to go near some tree. He showed them which one so they would know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't tell them not to eat its fruit. Okay, he didn't say do not eat from this tree. Instead, he ordered them to not even approach that tree. Why? Because approaching anything that is forbidden by Allah means that a person is putting himself in danger, at risk of doing something haram. He is taking that risk of going so close to something that is haram, so just stay away from it. Like going near the tree meant that Adam alayhi salam may have eaten the fruit one day, so he was told to just stay away from it. فَتَكُونَ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ, then you shall both become wrongdoers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warned them never to approach that tree, or they would become wrongdoers. فَوَسْوَسَ لَهُمَ الشَّيْطَانَ, then Shaitan whispered evil suggestions to both of them. Meaning he did it over and over again. He kept whispering to them. He tempted them repeatedly. And he made them want to think about it again and again. It kept coming to mind. This is how the waswas of Shaitan are. They just don't go away until that person does something to seek protection against him. So these waswas make people uneasy because they keep coming to mind. And he kept prompting them and tempting them to go near that tree. He didn't just give up after trying once or just a few times. He kept trying. Why? What had he plotted to do? What were his hidden intentions? لِيُبْدِيَ لَهُمَا مَا وُرِيَ عَنْهُمَا مِنْ سَوْآتِهِمَا, so that he might reveal to them the private parts of their bodies which they had never seen before. He had plotted to make apparent to them both their private parts that had been hidden before. A person's honor is in having his private parts covered. We already learned that the word so'a means private parts of the body, which people are ashamed of revealing. This is why people cover their private parts in all different parts of the world. No matter how corrupt a society may be, or how immodest they might be, people tend to cover their private parts, even if it's with minimal fabric, like a patch, because they don't like to expose themselves that way. This has always been a part of Shaitan's plot, to reveal people's private part, because removing someone's clothes suddenly is a sign of disrespect and disgrace. So Shaitan used this cheap trick to humiliate Adam alayhi salam and his wife, our forefathers. Allahu Akbar. Until this day, he still uses this trick to disgrace people. Even if he isn't able to expose their private parts fully and make them fully naked, he makes them take off as much of their clothes as possible. And he does this because he wants to dishonor people, to disgrace them. Covering up is a sign of respect. And removing clothes is a sign of disgrace, dishonor. But nowadays, women have started dressing in a way where they show off so much skin. Sadly, they don't understand that this is a sign of dishonor. And this is why Shaitan tricked Adam and Hawa alayhim as-salam, and their private parts were revealed. When people dress immodestly, they are giving in to Shaitan's plotting. He is the one who wants people to be naked, to humiliate them. But people are deceived into thinking that they look more beautiful somehow when they reveal more of their skin or when their hair shows. But we all need to understand that Allah is telling us here that Shaitan tricked Adam and Hawa alayhim assalam. He told us this straight out to be able to expose their private parts which had been hidden. And he did it to disgrace them because he's their enemy. So why would anyone want to wear revealing clothes after knowing this? Sadly, the norms have changed, so people don't realize what they're doing. In the former times, the free or respected chaste women in society were covered, and the slave girls had their heads uncovered. And they were used by people for any sort of work that they wanted to use them for. But they had their heads uncovered. Nowadays, many independent women who belong to the upper class willingly uncover their hair and wear revealing clothes. So it seems like they're doing the opposite of what respectable women did in the past. They think it's a sign of freedom, even though it's not. Now let's find out how Shaitan tricked Adam and Hawa alayhim assalam. وَقَالَ مَا نَحَاكُمَا رَبُّكُمَا عَنْ هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةِ إِلَّا أَنْ تَكُونَ مَلَكَيْنِ أَوْ تَكُونَ مِنَ الْخَالِدِينَ And he told them, Your Lord has forbidden you to approach this tree only to prevent you from becoming angels or immortals. Adam alayhi salam already knew that he would have to go down to the earth, because that was all a part of Allah's plan. Maybe he thought that Jannah was such a nice place to live in, and he wanted to stay there. And they'd been living there for some time by then. Maybe for many, many years. Only Allah knows how long they lived there exactly. But they lived there for some time, and it was such a beautiful, peaceful place. He knew that he was to be sent to the earth as a vicegerent. However, Shaitan went and told him that he would become an angel and he would never be taken out of Jannah if he ate from that tree. That may have tempted Adam alayhi salam, because Jannah was so nice and being an angel would mean that he wouldn't need to eat anything. And the angels would also live till the day of judgment. So Adam alayhi salam had seen the angels, but he didn't think that they were lower in ranks because they had prostrated before him. He just started thinking about how it would be to get the same character traits as them. This is how Shaitan tricks people, by coming to them in a way that they can't even imagine. Eating from the tree or going near it had nothing to do with being immortal. But he made them think of it this way. Adam and Hawa alayhim assalam had all of Jannah. They had everything there that they could possibly want. But Shaitan made them think about how nice it would be if they didn't ever have to leave from there. And everyone has a weak point. You know, there's one thing about which we all say, oh, this is one thing I can't do. This is just so difficult. And Shaitan uses our weak points to his advantage. That's how he gets us to listen to his whispers, through our weak points. For some people, their kids are their biggest weakness. And for others, it's the latest trends and fashions that they just want to follow. So they don't want to compromise when it comes to those things. But he uses people's weaknesses to make them disobey Allah. وَقَاسَمَهُمَا And he swore to both of them, إِنِّي لَكُمَا لَمِنَ النَّاصِحِينَ I am your sincere advisor. He acted like he was their well-wisher, saying that he wasn't getting anything out of it and he was doing it for them. He was just telling them for their own good so they could live there forever. That's what he made it seem like. So when he swore to them both, they were convinced. And we learned from a hadith that Adam alayhi salam had said, Oh Allah, I didn't know that it was possible for someone to lie and swear using your name. because Shaitan used the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he swore in the name of Allah that eating from that tree would make them become immortal, or it would turn them to angels. So they would never have to leave from Jannah. So he tricked them in that way. Inshallah, we'll stop here for today and we'll continue with the story next time. For now, we should really review these points, the lessons that we can derive from ourselves, from this story, from whatever we've covered so far, because these are very important. And please try to review the powerful dua, the morning and evening adhkar dua. That would really help in seeking protection against shaitan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to remember how shaitan plotted against our forefathers, and he's still doing this till this day, because he wants to take as many of Adam's offspring, as many of us and our offspring, to Jahannam with him as possible. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to remember this, to keep this in mind, so we can protect ourselves against his waswas, against his plotting, and we can seek the protection of Allah and ask him to keep us on the sirate mustaqim, the right path, that we make dua for every day so many times in salah and otherwise as well, that we should be asking for the sirate mustaqim. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us on that path and keep us steadfast. Ameen. Ya Rabbil Alameen. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka anta samiul alim. Wa tuba alayna innaka anta tawwabur rahim. Ameen. Ya Rabbil Alameen. Jazakumullahu khairan kathira. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.